When you're following the herd, it's hard to tell when the herd's headed in the wrong direction. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, there's no doubt that Wall Street is a scary place these days. It's all the more reason to have a solid investing plan in place and sticking to it. But one group of investors is letting emotions triumph over planning. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so which group am I talking about? Well, a recent survey by Ally Financial revealed that almost half of millennials, roughly aged 25 to 40, have sold investments during the past volatile year. The poll also showed that other age groups, for the most part, have stuck with their investing plans. There's an old joke that the best investment advice is buy low, sell high, but millennials don't seem to have gotten it. If you're following a long-range plan and the wisdom of that joke, now would be a good time to buy, not sell. Certainly, there's been a lot of bad news this year to scare investors, the highest inflation in 40 years, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and the Fed raising interest rates, seemingly on a collision course with a recession. Those bleak reports have apparently affected millennials the most, as 49% of those surveyed in August said they'd sold stocks over the past 12 months. That's compared to just 21% of investors in the demographic we know as Gen X, age 42 to 57. Interestingly, still fewer investors outside those two groups, Gen Z, ages 18 to 25, and some baby boomers, ages 58 to 67, sold stocks in the past year. So why are millennials selling off to a greater extent than other age groups? And remember, these are folks 25 to 40. Well, it could be that they're under more financial strain than others. This might include trying to buy a house, and skyrocketing home values in the past year haven't helped there. Or they could be facing more expenses raising children or caring for elderly parents who may not have put away enough for retirement. But even if millennials are selling stocks for what might seem to be the right reasons, it's still the wrong time to sell if you're following a long-term investing plan, looking ahead at least 5 years, if not 10. For those folks, a bear market is a good thing. That's because of dollar cost averaging, and it's something that most investors should be doing. We've talked about the beauty of dollar cost averaging before, but it's worth going over again. When you contribute a consistent amount each month to your retirement account, you're automatically dollar cost averaging. That could be in stocks, mutual funds, or whatever, and you do this no matter what the market's doing. This eliminates all the guesswork. You're not trying to figure out what the market is likely to do next month or next year. You've already made an investing decision based on a long-range plan, and this is following one of God's financial principles found in Proverbs 21:5. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. Now, if this seems like a mindless way to invest, it isn't. It's actually very smart. That's because by contributing a consistent amount each month, you're automatically buying fewer shares when prices are high and stocks are expensive. But then when stocks are down, like they've been this year, and you still invest the same amount each month, you're buying more shares. So no matter what happens on Wall Street, you're always building maximum equity at minimum cost. Dollar cost averaging doesn't give you big wins overnight. It gives you long-term gains. And if you stick with it and don't pull your money out when things look bleak, those gains can be substantial. Let's say a bear market lasts 6 months, a year, or even longer. With dollar cost averaging, you're laying the foundation for significant gains down the road. When the market recovers, all those extra shares you bought when prices were low will be worth more, greatly increasing the value of your portfolio. Most of us work pretty hard to save and invest. It's just human nature to have some emotional attachment to those dollars. But emotions are dangerous when it comes to investing. They tend to crowd out logic and reason. Dollar cost averaging takes the emotion out of investing. It eliminates the possibility that you'll make a bad investment decision, like selling when the market's down and locking in your losses, or buying more when stock prices are high. It forces you to think long-term instead. So if you're a millennial investor, or any investor for that matter, stick to your long-range plan and don't let your emotions take over. All right, your calls are next at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman, here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. You know, I'm struck by how often I'm told by Christians that they're not sure if their friends are Christians. What that tells me is they don't care. When you care if your friends are Christians, you know if they're Christians, and if they're not, you're focused on making them Christians, leading them to Jesus. There is no more important task in this life. When your antenna's up, almost everything people say will tell you where they are spiritually. From their language to what gets them excited to how they react when things go wrong. People living in the flesh are far different from those living in the spirit and exceedingly easy to recognize when you know what to look for. More importantly, when you care about people, you feel responsibility for them and where they'll spend their eternity. You may be their only hope for understanding how much God loves them and wants them to receive His gift of eternal life. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
The struggle between good and evil began when an angel in heaven rebelled against God. And ever since then, God and Satan have been engaged in a cosmic battle of epic proportions. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches about the final struggle between God and Satan, and the diabolical duo that will assist Satan in the last days. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Do you ever feel stressed or anxious about money? If so, that's normal, but you don't have to accept that. You can find peace of mind and financial security. Learn how with the 31-day devotional, Money Seeking God's Wisdom. You'll find daily questions to reflect on and practical exercises paired with scripture for spiritual and financial growth. Right now, you can request your copy of the Money Seeking God's Wisdom 31-day devotional with a gift of any amount at moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open again, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Coming up on the broadcast today, of course, your questions. We'll also tackle an important topic as we think about cutting through the noise of this world. You know, we live in a noisy culture. We're bombarded with messages about how to live and what to think and what to buy. And Colossians 2:8 warns against listening to worldly ideas. And we'll tackle that today and talk about how we cut through the noise and refocus on biblical truth, especially as it relates to our finances. That plus your calls today. Again, lines open, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Texas. Sherry, you're our first caller. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was calling in regards to the ladies. It was a rerun show on Thursday, I believe, where she was talking about the delay in the I-bonds because her information couldn't be verified?
Yes, ma'am.
And I wanted to give an update because I had an experience with that.
Great.
I was able to print out the paperwork online, got a gold medallion signature from my bank. And what happened for me was I had put my money market as a savings versus a checking, so that was incorrect. And they couldn't find the account to deposit the money to. So once I just mailed the stuff in regular mail, and I got a turnaround time of about 6 weeks.
Okay, yeah. So your account will not be open and funded until that six-week period roughly elapses, correct?
Correct, but it was only a month delayed because even though they received it the end of September, they dated it back to the 1st of September, so they gave me the full month.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, I think for some people we were hearing from last week, they were wanting to get in under the deadline to be able to qualify for the prevailing rate at 9.62% on the I-bonds, which will change in this month. And the Treasury was saying that you had to be in by the 28th last Friday in order to have the account open and funded. But those who are running into some difficulty like you did and like our caller last week, where there was additional verification required because something was tripping them up, and this happens often when we're transacting business online, it was going to extend it perhaps that beyond that deadline that would mean that they weren't going to get that or lock in that higher rate for at least the first 6 months. So there was some frustration there, although that's just unfortunately the way it goes when we try to set accounts up online. They have to be able to check all the boxes, including the verifications. And when something goes awry, well, then we got to go back to the tried and true paper methods, and that can delay things. But glad to hear it all worked out for you, Sherry, and I appreciate you calling and sharing your story with us.
Yes, unfortunately, you have to call, and if you call, you end up on the phone for like 2 hours, and I found that, and so I just filled out the paperwork, mailed it in, and then it ended up coming back. But just wanted to give you that great update. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, I appreciate that very much. Listen, God bless you, and call back anytime. Looks like we're going to stay on this topic of I-bonds to Montana. Janet, how can I help you?
Hi, yes. So I am the procrastinator and just looked at it this morning that I should have applied by the 28th of October.
Yes, ma'am.
Should I even attempt to apply because the deadline is today?
Well, the deadline is only to lock in that higher rate. So the question is, do the I-bonds make sense for you? Estimates are that the new rate's going to be somewhere around 6.5%. Which is still a great rate for a basically zero-risk investment with a duration of at least 1 year. Now, these I-bonds are inflation bonds issued by the U.S. Treasury, backed by the U.S. government, so very, very safe, 30-year bonds, but you've got to leave them in for at least 12 months. If you pull them out after 12 months but less than 5 years, you give up a small penalty of 3 months' worth of interest. So the question would be, number one, is this the right fit for you? And let me just comment on that. You know, a lot of folks say, well, yes, the rate is attractive now, especially as of October. That's expired or expiring. But at this rate, does it make sense to take money we would have been putting in the market and put in the I bonds? I don't think so. You know, what I'm saying is for money that has a 5 year or less time horizon where you would have been in cash and cash equivalents, CDs, things like that, but you can part with the money for a year. So this is not your emergency funds that you need ready access to, but this is also not long-term money, 5 years plus, where I think it would be better to have a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. This is shorter term money, 1 to 5 years. And the reason is because typically that would be in a very conservative place, which this is from a risk standpoint, but you wouldn't get anywhere near the return you're going to get with these I-bonds. Now, these will revert back to where they historically have been, down in the low twos or below. It's just that because of inflation right now, we're enjoying these higher rates, 9.62, soon to be 6.5, and it's probably going to begin coming down each six-month period moving forward. So for that reason, I wouldn't bail on a long-term investment strategy because you're going to do well with long-term compounded returns in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. But if you had money with a 1 to 5 year time horizon, the question is 9.62 with zero risk a good investment? Absolutely. Is 6.5 Still a good investment for 1 to 5 year money, of course. So I think from that standpoint, Janet, it still does make sense, even though you're not going to get the 9.62 for the first 6 months like you would have if you had been able to open it last week. Does all that make sense, though?
Okay, absolutely. So it's really in a vacation fund, I call it, that we okay. want to use in about a year and a half. So yeah. I might go ahead and use that 6%.
Yeah, I think that's
it. Sitting in my bank, yeah.
Right. Why not, right? And so you can put in up to $10,000 per person per calendar year, and I think it would be a great option for you. So glad we could help you with that, Janet. Sorry you didn't get in last week. I've been there certainly many times in the past, but it's still a great rate. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Quickly to Dallas, Texas. Let's see. How can I help you, sir?
Okay, how to open a small business just like car wash?
Okay, so you're looking to open a small business? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. What line of work will you be in?
I don't have any own business, just to start.
Okay. Yeah, I think the first thing is you've got to do some market research to understand whether your idea is going to turn into a successful business. So you want to gather potential information about potential customers, businesses already in your area that are doing the same thing. You want to write a business plan. This is just a roadmap for how you structure and run and grow your business. You're going to want to make sure you have the funding for your business. So you're going to need the cash on hand to get it started, and you want to be careful because it generally takes more time and more money than you expect to get it up and running, to do the marketing, to get going, and you don't want to put your personal finances at risk. Then you want to pick your business structure. So you're going to want to know what type of legal structure do you want to have in terms of liability, but also taxes. And you'll want to talk to a CPA or attorney about that. Then you need to register your business and get your federal and state tax ID numbers, and then apply for any business licenses and permits. And then finally get your bank account and you'll be off to the races. This is MoneyWise. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's talk God's money and how we can manage it wisely, hold it loosely, give it generously, whether it's your spending plan, your debt repayment, your giving, or maybe your short-term or long-term savings. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you today, and we'll see if we can help you run it through the lens of biblical truth as we look at the counsel of Scripture, the big ideas from God's Word about how we should think about managing money and then make those practical day-to-day decisions with confidence. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, just before the break, we were talking about starting your own business, and is exciting. What an opportunity, and yet can be challenging as well. Obviously, the big idea there in terms of the pros is you have more control over your professional destiny, if you will. You are owning your business. You can take it as far as you want to. Your earnings might be higher compared to working for others or not, depending upon how well that goes and how much you have to put into startup costs. Of course, you can hire your team and choose your coworkers. I think the thing we have to be careful on is just getting into a trap of working longer hours and realizing we may not get paid for a while, that we're putting potentially our financial situation at risk, knowing that many small businesses fail. And that's not to discourage us. It's just to make sure that we go in with our eyes wide open, making sure we have the staying power, so to speak, to get started and stay with it. We've got the financial reserve, so we don't put our financial house in jeopardy as a part of that, that as we're thinking about the hours we're going to put in, that we're not robbing precious time for our families. All of that can be challenging. And so I think we just have to go in with a plan. And many times it involves keeping a paid job and then maybe starting something on the side and see if we can work into a job perhaps that we've been doing, working for somebody else, but now we're going to launch out on our own. So be cautious and careful, be prayed up, and make sure you have spousal unity. I'll tell you, that is a huge one, that if your spouse has a check about whether or not this is the right fit for you, I think that might be a great sign that maybe you're getting out ahead of the Lord. So make sure you pray about it and make sure you have spousal unity before you proceed. And I hope that's helpful to you. You know, as we talk about the noise of this world and God's truth, it's important that we think about the warnings in Scripture about listening to worldly ideas. Listen to Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human's tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Many of the deceptive philosophies we encounter today are materialistic and self-serving. I'm sure you've heard these. Your future will be secure if you accumulate a lot of possessions. You may have heard wealth, fame, and beauty will make you valuable. You may have heard that if you borrow money now, you can have everything you want, or all you need is a positive attitude and you'll succeed, or just believe in yourself. Well, the Bible calls these ideas hollow and deceptive because they're lies, glorifying material possessions and selfish desires, and the end result of this worldview is death. So how do we avoid being fooled by the world's noise? Well, we can focus on God's truth instead. So here's a few life-giving messages straight from God's Word for you to meditate on. First, Jesus is everything we need. We can't live abundantly without Him. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." You see, in Christ, we have life, peace, hope, and a secure future. Second, listen to this. Possessions can't satisfy you. I would take you to Proverbs 23:5. It reads, "Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." Thirdly, lasting success comes from serving the Lord, not chasing worldly glory. Psalm 31 tells us, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain." Next, financial plans are uncertain, but we can rely on Jesus every day in every circumstance. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." That comes from Isaiah 28:16. You see, folks, when we listen to God's truth instead of the world's noise, well, we can put our priorities in order, following Christ first and then loving one another, and everything else falls into place. So we need to remember Matthew 6:33, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, the things you really need, will be given to you as well." Finally, consider Paul's admonition in Ephesians 5:1 and 2. "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, I hope that helps you focus on what's most important today, and that's what we all need to be doing. All right, let's head back to the phones today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Quickly to Mansfield, Ohio. Randall, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm calling to find out what the best way to pay my daughter's mortgage off out of my savings, and okay, it'd be in the neighborhood of $100,000. And okay, I just wanted to know if that's legal, or is there a tax issue with her?
No, sir. It would be considered a gift, Randall, and so you're able to do that. This year you can give $16,000 as a gift. Now, beyond 16, are there tax implications? No, there aren't. You're just going to have to file a form that alerts the IRS that you gave more than the $16,000. That's going to then go against your lifetime exclusion, which this year is $11.6 million. It's going up to over $12 million next year. So that's the lifetime exclusion you can give away without having any gift tax. So in no case will there be any gift tax. It's just that beyond 16, you're just going to need to tell the IRS that you did it, and it's going to be a notch against that $12 million as of next year that you can give away. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. But can I ask you, will that mean that do they have to pay taxes on it themselves?
They do not. You do not, and they do not. It's just a gift.
Okay.
All right.
You're welcome. Can they do all that electronically?
Let's talk offline. We got to hit a break here. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so glad you've decided to join us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. On a Monday morning, as stocks are off to, well, a red start, we're down across the board, although I will say October has been strong. The last 4 weeks has been perhaps that bear market bounce everyone was expecting in the midst of maybe better than expected news about earnings, some slightly better than expected news in some cases about the prospects of inflation and where the Fed might be heading. But today the market's cooling off just a bit, down about a half a percent to 2% on the NASDAQ. So interesting start to Wall Street. Tomorrow, Bob Dahl stops by to weigh in on the markets and the economy as we start a new month here headed toward the end of the year. We'll find out what Bob's thinking about and what he is watching this week in the economic indicators. That's coming tomorrow in our final segment of the broadcast. We've got some lines open today. What's on your mind, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with any question. We've got lines available. Our team will get you on the air quickly. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's take a few of your emails. We're so grateful for the emails we receive to be read on the air, as well as the really active participation in our MoneyWise community. When you open a free account, by the way, at moneywise.org, you can participate in our community where you can post questions, share ideas with all of the other stewards in the MoneyWise family. Every day there's new questions being posted, and then our MoneyWise coaches, as well as just other stewards on the journey, are weighing in on those questions. So it's a great place where people who share God's heart and desire for being good stewards come together around practical ideas and questions. Just head to moneywise.org, click the community button. When you create a free account, you can jump right into the MoneyWise community. Also, the MoneyWise community is on our MoneyWise app, and we'd love for you to download that. Not only can you get these broadcast archives and use our world-class money management system to manage your day-to-day spending using a digital envelope system and a simple, beautiful interface, but also you can participate in the MoneyWise community right there in the palm of your hand. If you'd like to download the app, we'd love for you to do that. Just head to your app store and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance, or you can go to moneywise.org and click the app button and learn all about it. Again, moneywise.org and click app. All right, these questions came in to us over the weekend. This first one comes from Paul, and he says, when is it a good idea to use a debt consolidation service? And I would say, unfortunately, Paul, never. I'm not a fan of debt consolidation. This is where you combine two or more debts into a single larger debt. Consumers often take this step with a significant amount of high interest debt. And they do it to simplify things for a lower interest rate, perhaps for a fixed repayment schedule. The downside that I've just seen over decades is that when we use that kind of approach to paying off debt, number one, we don't solve the underlying issue that led to the debt in the first place. And so it takes the pressure off, even though the interest rate's lower. Often the repayment term is longer. Often the total monthly payment is lower with that single monthly payment. And because we didn't solve the issue, the overspending that led to the debt in the first place, 6 months or a year later, we've got the consolidation loan, and then guess what? The debt is back. So my preferred approach to paying off, especially credit card debt, when you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, is to use a debt management program different than debt consolidation, where you use a credit counseling agency to get that debt paid back. Essentially, what would happen is the interest rates are lowered. You have one fixed monthly payment. You don't have new loans being taken out. It stays right where it is. But through that fixed monthly payment and the lower interest rates, you will find that on average, you'll pay back 80% faster that debt. You'll pay it off in full. And my experience is when you do it that way, you solve the issue of overspending, because it takes time. And when you do it that way, hopefully you'll never find yourself in debt again. Our preferred team to help you do that is Christian Credit Counselors. You'll find them on the web at christiancreditcounselors.org. They've served hundreds and hundreds of our MoneyWise listeners, and we always get great feedback from these men and women who really see themselves as in ministry to serve you as God's people in getting out from under the burden of credit card debt. Again, christiancreditcounselors.org, and I would much prefer that approach than debt consolidation. Paul, thanks for writing to us, sir. We appreciate it. All right, back to the phones we go. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. To Iowa we go next. Lori, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a 9-year-old grandson. He's in second grade, and through a series of circumstances that I won't go into, I am supporting him and paying his school tuition. He goes to a private Christian school. I would like to do something to put money aside. I'm 75. I'm still working, but that's not going to last forever. To pay his tuition through 12th grade. How can you recommend a way that I know it's kind of a weird question, but how could I put this money aside where it's not going to get taxed and it will only go to pay his tuition?
Yes, very good. So you can use a 529 plan for that. Have you heard the term 529 college savings?
Right.
Okay. So the law allows, and this wasn't the case in the early days, this is a recent addition, the law allows for you to use up to $10,000 per year of 529 plan funds to pay for private elementary or high school. So what would happen is you would put the money into the 529 plan to fund it. And the nice thing is that it does grow tax-free. So if it were to be invested and then, gain some through appreciation over time, especially with the market down right now as it recovers, then his parents could pull that money out of the 529 up to $10,000 a year tax-free, meaning the tax has already been paid on the contributions, but any of the gains would come out tax-free, and it could be used for, elementary, middle, or high school tuition at a public, private, or parochial school. So that could be a great tool, very simple to set up, and it sounds like it would accomplish what you're looking for.
Can you do it with I-bonds or not?
No, the 529 plans cannot hold the I-bonds, and I probably wouldn't do that anyway. I mean, although that would be great for the next year, I don't see the I-bonds continuing to perform very well, longer term, okay, especially given the age of this child.
All right. And I don't want his parents to have access to it. That's the reason I'm, kind of raising him.
Sure. And so you could be the owner of the account, and it would be for his benefit. And then you would just have to deal with the, estate planning issues of who takes control over it. If with him being a minor, if the Lord were to take you home. But it would be, a great vehicle that would make sure that these funds are used for this purpose, but you'd get the tax benefits for any growth.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Okay. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
That.
And listen, pretty much every state has a 529, but it doesn't mean that your state is the best one based on the fees and, the most importantly, the performance of the investments. So to determine, Lori, which state's 529 plan, and again, it may be not your state but another state, to determine which one is the best one for you, my favorite website for this is called savingforcollege.com. savingforcollege.com. I'd check that out, run through the questions that they ask you, and they'll recommend the top five plans for you to consider. Thanks for your call, Lori. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Did you see that? That was my favorite question to ask as a kid on the 4th of July. Something about fireworks always resonated with me. And the bigger and louder, all the better. But one of the neatest parts of a fireworks show is watching it with friends and family. You can all enjoy the sights and sounds together. But there's something far more glorious that we will see one day. A sight that'll put the best fireworks to shame. Isaiah tells us about it in chapter 40. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ. What a sight that will be. Get Anchor devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open here in our final segment of the broadcast today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Oregon. Betty, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I had a question on behalf of my son-in-law, who is just majorly in debt, over $45,000. And I'm wondering pros and cons of filing for bankruptcy and how that might negatively impact the title to their home by on behalf of the lenders. I'm trying to give them some ideas. And is there a CKA person perhaps near where they live?
There very well could be, although this is really not the typical purview of a CKA. Really, you need a godly bankruptcy attorney to probably talk through, Betty, just the implications of a bankruptcy. So you understand exactly what you're getting into. Bankruptcy is not addressed in the Bible. Clearly says the wicked borrows and does not repay. Bankruptcy, though, is a modern legal term we've created. And I would say in some cases, we may be forced into bankruptcy just for legal protection. I don't think that then removes this requirement to repay as we're able over time. And I could tell you countless stories of folks who did file bankruptcy for that protection that they needed, but then they were able to repay everything that, borrowed over time, even in some cases when the creditors push back against that because they had already charged everything off. So, you know, you really need legal counsel here to understand the implications of what will happen, you know, especially with, you know, properties as opposed, you know, whether you'd lose your house, depending on whether it's a 7 or a 13 bankruptcy and what exemptions that you get, including your home, a retirement account, some personal belongings and car. But you have to comply with the exemption rules, and it does get fairly complicated. So I think the next step, Benny, would be for your son-in-law to visit with a godly bankruptcy attorney. What you could do is reach out to a certified kingdom advisor in your area and ask for a referral, or perhaps call your church and see if there's a bankruptcy attorney in your church that could be of assistance. But I think that really is the next step, because it does get fairly complicated, and a lot of it just depends upon the situation, circumstances, and the laws in your state.
Okay. All right, I will do that. And does your organization, he just needs help with the patterns of spending and that. Does your organization assist with that?
We do, yeah. So we've got MoneyWise coaches that would be happy to help him set up a spending plan and try to get a system to control the flow of money in and out in place. So if you stay on the line, what I'd like to do is we'll get you a six-month pro subscription to the MoneyWise app, and with that will be all the assistance that he needs to get set up and have somebody just look over his spending plan, give him some advice at no cost. I'll also send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book on this topic that I think will be an encouragement to him, that really gives a biblical perspective on how to manage money God's way, but even the practical details of, you know, what it looks like to manage it day to day. The book is called Your Money Counts, and I think that will be an encouragement. So we'll get you a six-month pro subscription to the MoneyWise app. He can connect with a coach if he'd be willing to do that, and we'll send you a copy of this book, Your Money Counts. Does that sound good?
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. So I'm just trying to, because I've never heard of people being this much in debt, and it's just unfathomable to me. And it could wreck a marriage. So.
Oh, yes, I understand. And what we need to do is get him to a place where they feel like they have a plan moving forward, because right now he probably feels like, you know, he just doesn't know where to turn. And I think if even if it's a difficult one, if they know they have a plan and they know what they need to do moving forward to control the flow of money, to manage it well, to get the legal protections they need, to get, you know, a repayment plan with their creditors that fits into their budget. I mean, all of these things, I think once we know, okay, we have a plan moving forward, it takes a lot of that pressure off. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but at least he'll know, or they'll know, that they're making some progress. And I think that will be an encouragement. So you stay on the line, Benny. We'll get your information and get that right out to you. And God bless you today. Let's see, to Missouri. Hey, Guy, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. You have probably covered this topic before, but I haven't been able to listen every episode. But just had a question about Bitcoin. I have not invested in it and really not planning on it, but just kind of wondering your approach and your thoughts about that whole very confusing financial situation, or as some people see it, as an investment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think, you know, the cryptocurrencies are here to stay. I mean, they run on something called blockchain, which is a record of transactions that's maintained by a decentralized network of computers. So the big idea is that instead of a centralized ledger like your bank maintains, blockchain allows this decentralized network of computers to record and maintain a record of transactions. And as we see a breakdown of trust in centralized institutions everywhere in society, whether that's what the Fed is doing or global health institutions or big tech companies, there's more and more appeal to this decentralized approach. So it takes something we're already familiar with, currency, saving, lending, that we would typically do with a big institution, and it redesigns that function using a computer code in a way that enables us to accomplish the same thing in a trustless, decentralized way. And there's obviously a lot of excitement around it, but at this stage of development, I would put cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, the most well-known, in a highly speculative category in terms of an investment. There's just incredible volatility, unlike anything most people have ever experienced. And we've certainly seen that with Bitcoin in terms of the wild swings up and down. So you basically think of investing in a tech stock, and then crypto is going to be four or five times more volatile than that. Second, there's a risk of a lot of today's cryptos that they'll ultimately end up worthless. We saw tons of internet companies disappear 20 years ago as the internet was gaining momentum and going mainstream. There's a winnowing process. We're going to see that in the cryptos. And then one of the biggest risks is how governments are going to react as Bitcoin and other cryptos threaten their stranglehold over money. You see, governments get a lot of benefits from controlling their currencies. That's why the U.S. is currently looking at whether we should have a central bank issued digital currency. But, governments are going to push back as this gives a way for people to opt out of the official money via something like Bitcoin. Not to mention that, any big bank or other entrenched financial interest isn't going to be keen on having a new, better alternative to take their business away. So because of all of that, we still are going to see a lot more regulation coming into this space. So I think bottom line, Guy, is that cryptos are here to stay. The blockchain technology is going to be used in finance and in commerce, but it has far-reaching implications beyond that. It's not going anywhere, but it's not something I would put investment dollars in, just given the highly speculative nature of it. Does all that make sense?
Kind of. I guess we're pretty much old school, but just from what I've seen lately or in the last year or so, how it's just up and down so much, it's like, I don't think I really want to be involved in it.
No, I would totally agree. And I mean, so just take this into account. So Bitcoin is down 55% since the first day of the year and down 66% in 1 year. That's the 1 year return, minus 66%. So is that volatile? Absolutely. Should you invest in it? I don't think so. Even if we didn't see that kind of downward pressure, my rule on investing is if I can't explain it, I don't invest in it. And I think for a lot of folks, they're getting into something, they have no idea even what it is. They don't understand the risks and the staying power, and they certainly don't understand the volatility. God's word speaks to a get-rich-quick mentality, and I'm not saying they're going into it with the right heart posture or the wrong heart posture, but I think we just have to be careful when we throw kind of conventional godly wisdom, to the wind, and we invest in something we perhaps don't understand or don't have any business being in just because of the extreme volatility. So, Guy, I hope that gives you some things to think about as you talk through this with your family members. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today, and we're nearing the end of the broadcast. You know, as we think about managing God's money well, I think the big idea is faithfulness. It's consistency in the same direction over a long period of time. And when it comes to managing money, I think we've got to begin with this idea of a recognition that money issues are heart issues. You see, the way we handle money is a pretty clear indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually. It tells a story about where we've placed our trust and what's most important to us. And the question is, what story is our money management telling? And are we happy with that? Do we need to make some changes? Perhaps we're holding too tightly. Perhaps we are chasing returns and, our heart posture is trying to get rich quick. Maybe we are finding our self-worth and our net worth. Maybe we're finding that, money is a way to make sure that we feel good about ourselves, especially if we get caught up in the comparison trap that's just so entrenched in social media today. Well, if any of that is true, I think we need to renew our minds and go back to God's word and say, what does God's word say about handling money? Well, we should hold it loosely. We should be living with contentment. We should be using it to serve and support others through our generosity. And we should be trusting God at the end of the day with everything, because He is our prize. We have an abundance before the first dollar through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thanks for being along with us today. Thank you to Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, my amazing team serving us today. I couldn't do it without them. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, we'll do it all over again, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.